Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. Turning to the Psalm 23, the last time we'll be looking at this psalm as part of our study here in the assembly. Though I'm sure with you young ones, you'll look at the psalm many times in future years and sing it. And I hope when you do, you'll remember these days and retain something of what it is we have tried to teach you about this psalm. The last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can never emphasize enough, boys and girls, that when you read the Bible, you take note of every word, because every word of God is good. It's good. When you sit down to a meal, I hope you eat all of it. You don't say, I don't want that, and I don't want that. Bad boys and girls say that. But I hope you don't. You eat all of it. Well, so it is with the Bible. Every word has been put there by God for you to eat and enjoy. And there's no verse that presents this truth to us more clearly than this final verse. As is in keeping with the last verse of a psalm, you have David summarizing, that is, as it were, gathering up everything he has said and putting it in a shortened version. Everything he has said in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he now sort of repeats, but in a shorter version. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That covers basically what he has been teaching us in the other verses, the earlier verses. He's telling us about the life that he has lived on earth, how good it has been, but he's also speaking of the life that is yet to come. Never forget that. Never forget that. This is not the end. This life of ours here on this earth, that's not the sum and total of our being. In truth, if you were to take your Bible and turn to the very first page, I'm not wanting you to particularly look at what's on the first page. I just want you to see that first page and then look at all the other pages that are to follow. Well, that first page is a bit like your life here on earth. There's an awful, awful lot more to follow. All the other pages. And there is a last page in the Bible, but there's no last page for you. You're going to live forever. Live forever. But you see, as a gospel preacher, my task is to make sure that you live forever in God's house in heaven. Because if you don't live forever in God's house, you live forever in that place of eternal punishment for those who have rejected the gospel. Oh, may that be impressed upon your heart today. You have a long, long life ahead of you, an everlasting life. Well, let's look at what David says to us here very particularly. First of all, I want you to notice that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ permits us, allows us, to have confidence in God's goodness. We can be sure of it. Look at what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The very first word. Surely. And it's followed by other words that denote certainty. Surely goodness and mercy shall. That's a very definite, strong word indicating certainty. Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, those words all denote certainty. And the Christian can be absolutely certain about the blessing of the Lord in their life. They can be sure of that. I've told you before, for I've repeated this wee story many times. I don't know why it's so prominent in my memory. I often look back on my life and I see certain things that happened that stand out from all the other things. In fact, most of the other things I've forgotten. But these things stand out, and I can look back and I can see them as clearly. I went into a chemist shop in Five Mile Town one day, and there was a lady, and not an elderly lady, but a middle-aged lady, standing up at the counter, and she was talking to the chemist. And when he saw me coming in, and he recognized me, he said, "Oh, here's a man who'll be able to tell us." And I didn't know what was going to be said to me. But he said, "We're just discussing here. This lady says you can be sure of heaven, and I'm saying you can't." Oh, that was a good subject for me to speak on. And I said, "The lady's right, and you're wrong." Nice to be able to tell people that, isn't it? And the lady smiled, for she probably was getting somewhat browbeaten by the chemist, and he was taken back by me telling him that he was wrong. I said, "The lady's right, you can be sure of heaven. The people of God are sure and certain of heaven. And if you're not sure of heaven in your lifetime, my friend, you'll not be there. You'll not be there. You see, we must settle this matter. Come to Christ, have our sins forgiven, be born again, and know that we're going to heaven. In order to get to heaven, if you don't know today you're going to heaven, then I can tell you, you're not going to heaven. For those who are going to heaven know it, and are sure of it, just like David. Surely. Are you sure today? Are you sure today? Or is it a matter you just never bother your head about? Well, it'll bother you one day. So give attention to this matter. Faith in the Lord Jesus. We're trusting in Him. Then we can be certain and sure and confident of His goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's certain about God's blessing in this life, and He's certain about being in heaven in God's house forever. It's lovely to have that certainty, that assurance. Oh, have you that assurance today? If you've been to Jesus for the cleansing blood, and you're washed in His blood, then you're sure, you're sure. The second thing I want you to notice is, David has abiding blessings following him. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." They don't forsake him. There were not days in David's life in which there were no blessings. But every day, the goodness and the mercy of God followed David. Every day. And I want you to notice the word follow. Now, again, I think David's thinking of the sheep. Remember, this is a shepherd's psalm. And the shepherd in Israel, he led the sheep. He would have been out walking in front of the sheep, and they followed behind him. And as that happened, David was caused to think, you know, the sheep follow me every day. But more than that, God's blessings follow me every day. They're always there. I don't have to run after God's blessings. God's blessings run after me. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I don't have to chase after God and beg Him to bless me. His blessings follow me. They're just at my heels, as it were, all the time. Like my shadow. God's blessing never leaves me. Now, the word follow, and I like to study the words, it first appears in Genesis 14. Genesis 14, and I think it's the verse 14. Yes, I'll read to you Genesis 14 and the verse 14. "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive," now that was Lot, taken captive by those who attacked where he was living, the city in which he was living, Sodom. And when he hears this, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Can't you see them? 318 men, all armed and eager to rescue Lot. And they would have chased after those who had captured Lot most earnestly. Not dilly-dallying, but chasing. And that word pursued is the same word that David uses. So that the blessings of God pursue after us, follow after us most keenly, most eagerly. That's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand. It's a most persistent following of us. There's no lagging, no falling behind, but always keeping up. That's the blessings of God upon His people. Now, did David never have a sad day or a bad day? Yes, he did, just the way you do. There were days when David forgot the Lord, disobeyed the Lord, and sinned against the Lord. Yes, David. But I want to tell you, boys and girls, even on those days, God's blessing followed him. That's contrary to what man's religion teaches. Man's religion basically is that if you're good and nice, then God will be good and nice to you. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Even when David failed God, God never failed David. Now, when David was bad, the mercy that God bestowed upon him, the goodness that God bestowed upon him, was a little different from the days when David was good, but that was still mercy and goodness which followed David. Let me just read to you a verse or two that I thought of this morning as I was getting ready to come down here. It's in Hebrews, and it's Hebrews chapter 13, and in the verse 6 it says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Why is he so confident and so happy and not in the least frightened of what man will do? Well, if you look at the previous verse, he quotes the Lord. He says, "The Lord has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And even when we do bad, the Lord doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. His goodness and mercy is still there. But let me tell you what His goodness and mercy does to someone who's bad. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12 this time, and it's the verse 5 again. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You see, the goodness of God to David when he was bad was manifested in that God gave him a bit of a scalp to teach him that he was being bad and to bring him back out of his badness to obedience. That's a forgotten doctrine among many. It certainly is totally forgotten in the world. The law of the land, you know, says now you're not allowed to scourge your children. You're not allowed to turn your child over your knee and warm their rear end when they're bad. That's what the law says. But boys and girls, that's what God does. And no law passed in London will stop God doing that. If you disobey God, he'll put you over his knee. Oh yes, he will. Later in David's life, or I believe this Psalm 23 speaks of the early part of David's life. Later in David's life, he sinned against the Lord terribly, and God put him over his knee, and he made David feel pain for his wrongdoing. He felt the hand of God's chastening upon him because of his sin, and it brought him back to the Lord. He repented of his sin. Psalm 51 will tell you all about it. God's chastening brought David back to the Lord. And God's chastening was but evidence of God's goodness and mercy still following David. God in mercy didn't let David go astray, but God followed him, chastened him, and brought him back. Just the way David, as a shepherd, would do when a sheep went astray. What did he do? He went after it, and with the rod that the shepherd carries, he would have hit it a rap or two and turned it back to the flock. That's what God does. And that's God's goodness and God's mercy. Heaven is filled, boys and girls. Heaven is filled with people who even now are remembering with joy the times God chastened them. He didn't leave them to wander away and ruin themselves. But God chased after them and brought them back to himself. And heaven's filled with people remembering that and rejoicing. I tell you that here we have the fact that God's blessings followed David. Good days and bad days. The blessing of God, the mercy of God, the love of God was always there. Then again, David was sure of uninterrupted mercy. You know, when I came out this morning, I felt that it was a little warmer than it had been yesterday. We do look for nice weather, don't we? We really enjoy when the sun is shining. But sadly, it doesn't shine too often because it's constantly interrupted. Clouds come across, rain comes down, the wind blows and it's cold. Our weather doesn't stay the same, it's interrupted. Change. But David speaks here of uninterrupted, unchanging mercy. He says, look at it. And here is why I tell you to study every word. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He doesn't say surely goodness and mercy shall follow me some of the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me many of the days of my life. He doesn't say that. He says all the days of my life. And your day today will know the goodness and mercy of God attend you. And no matter what happens to you today, no matter what takes place in your life today, please understand that it's an act of God's mercy and God's goodness. Let me tell you, it comes to my mind now. There was a great, great preacher in London in the 1800s. In fact, he hasn't stopped preaching, even though he's dead for a long time, over 100 years. He's still preaching, because his sermons have been published and people are reading them. In fact, the Reverend Ferguson talked about how he read one of these sermons every day. I'm referring, of course, to the preaching of the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was a great man. He had bad health, and toward middle age, he nearly spent 6 months of the year sick, and he used to go to France, where the weather was milder, and he would spend time there. I remember reading about an incident in which he was coming down the stairs, and he slipped, and he fell. And he tumbled down the stairs, and he got hit in the mouth and broke a tooth. Knocked it out, in fact. And as he tumbled down, money came out of his pocket, change. And strangely enough, it fell into his boot, and everybody was frightened and alarmed for this man, for he was quite a heavy man. And they rushed over, and old Spurgeon sat up, and they said, isn't the Lord good? He's got rid of a tooth that was giving me trouble, and I've got money to boot. And that man was one who knew that even when you fell down the stairs, the mercy and the goodness of God was following you. And he saw good even in that which others were concerned and alarmed about. Boys and girls, no matter what happened to you, God's goodness and mercy is behind it. All the days of my life, says David. It's not what we do that earns God's goodness, but God in sovereign grace attends to us and grants to us his blessing even though we don't deserve it. Even when we sin, God's mercy follows us. Psalm 119 and verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. He was expecting that when they went astray, the Lord would follow them, bring them back. Romans 8:35 through to verse 39 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not the devil, not all the powers of the world, not even we, our own stupid selves, when we act foolishly. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The final point I leave with you, David was confident of his eternal destiny. He knew where he was going. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, he wasn't talking about the temple or the tabernacle when he referred to the house of the Lord. I believe he was talking about heaven. That's where he was going. Boys and girls, it's a lovely, lovely thing to know where you're going and to know that you're going to the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Notice the little word "and" right in the middle of the verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's looking at his life on earth. Goodness and mercy has followed him all those days. But there's more to come. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was sure of that. The word "and" is a joining word. Isn't that what we're taught? Well, joined onto David's life was heaven. Heaven for all eternity. Heaven is the house of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 and the verse 2, 14 verse 2 of John, I go to prepare a place for you. At this very moment, if you've ever wondered what the Lord Jesus is doing today, then let me tell you what he's doing. He's preparing a place for his people. And it's that place that here David is speaking about. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, the house that the Lord built for me in heaven. Paul the Apostle refers to that house. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 1, he says, For we know that if our earthly house, that's our body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, death, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A house, a house. And David says, I'll dwell in the house that God has built in glory for me. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that comfort, to have that knowledge, to have that assurance. Now, David had it. Do you? Do you have that assurance? Do you know that God has built a house in heaven for you? Do you? If you have trusted the Lord Jesus, if he's your Savior, if he's your shepherd, then he's leading you to that house, to that home. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. Let's bow in prayer. O God, we just pray that it may please thee to take the poor words of man and apply them, shine light upon them, make them easy to be understood by all here. Bless the school, we pray. Undertake for it today. Bless the staff. Bless the homes from which the children have come. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.